So it's always challenging to follow the answer group, and thanks to both of you so much for your fascinating research. It's such an honor to be on a panel with you and also to hear just more about what you're doing. So what I'm going to be presenting today is work that IPASS is doing to conceptualize the issue of abortion stigma and also to apply our conceptual model and to pilot it and test it through interviews that we've conducted in Ghana and Zambia. So what I'm going to do today is begin by presenting our conceptual framework, and then I'll go into more of a discussion of some of the findings that are surfacing through our research in Ghana and Zambia. So one of the reasons that we started this work, as you hopefully know, IPASS is a global organization that works to ensure that all women everywhere have the right to abortion. And when we do our work, we often begin with strategic assessments of the context in which we're working. And out of the strategic assessments, we have a better idea of what's happening in a certain context or country related to abortion. And the issue of stigma kept surfacing as a barrier. People said it was a barrier to women accessing safe services, to providers providing services. But yet, when we looked at the research, there's the very important and cutting-edge work that ANSWER is doing on women who've had abortions and the stigma they may or may not face in providers. But there was little from the international realm. So we really started thinking about how we could develop a conceptual framework and deepen our knowledge of abortion and how that relates to service provision in country. So I just want to recognize that I'm a part of a team at IPASS, including Kristen Schellenberg, Anu Kumar, and Brooke Levinowski, who's doing this research. Next slide. So Irvin Goffman was the first that really started to apply stigma to the field within sociology, which really meant a recognition of the importance of social relations and social processes to understanding stigma. So he really looked at how people with certain conditions, traits, identities, or behaviors are marked and defined as different. They're tainted, they're different, and therefore culturally or socially unacceptable. And so we've used this to then create this diagram that tries to depict the social process of stigmatization. And so the idea is that this is really circular, it's non-hierarchical, and it doesn't necessarily move from label to stereotype to separate to discriminate, but these can move and they intersect with each other. So around abortion, we begin by labeling difference. We label women who need abortions, women who have abortions, as somehow different, as somehow deviant from the norm, even though it's a very, very common experience that women have around the world. We then stereotype, so we link women who need abortions to undesirable characteristics. And you've heard a lot about some of the terminology that's used about women who need abortions as selfish, as sinful, as dirty. The right wing often uses baby killers as a terminology. So we stereotype and link to undesirable characteristics. We also separate. So we separate, again, women who need abortions from other women. We do that also in the way that we provide services. So often abortions are not considered part of family planning or reproductive health, but they're isolated as a separate service that women need versus thinking about it comprehensively as something that women need across their reproductive lives. And then there's overt discrimination, and that's linked to status loss in Goffman's model. So that's denial of accurate medical information. Women are often charged excessive fees for abortions. Again, these are experiences primarily outside of the states. There's verbal and physical abuse, overt and de facto and de jure discrimination that women experience. So we've used this diagram to then create our model, our definition of abortion stigma, and I'd really love to hear from you during the question and answer period what you think is missing from this definition. So we've defined abortion stigma as a negative attribute ascribed to women who seek to terminate a pregnancy that marks them as inferior to ideals of womanhood. And we've linked this definition to what we refer to in our conceptual paper as three archetypes of what it means to be a feminine that are transgressed by the abortion experience. So one is that sex is for procreation, two is the inevitability of motherhood, and three is the instinctive nurturance of the vulnerable, that women have that instinctive nurturance. And that by having an abortion, by taking the decision to terminate a pregnancy, that transgresses these ideas of what it means to be feminine. What's also interesting about abortion, and when we were looking at our research, the two big bodies of research on stigma come from the HIV and mental illness fields. And again, there's relatively little on abortion. What's different about abortion is that it can be invisible in certain ways, and we see that certainly affects where women want to go for services in many of the countries where we work, and that women will go to great lengths to hide the abortion experience and not to come out and disclose it in some cases. Next slide. So we've created domains around social stigma. Both from women, the stigmatized or providers, anybody associated with the abortion experience may be stigmatized, as well as others who are stigmatizers. So these can be broken down into perceived, experienced, and internalized abortion stigma. So perceived is individuals' perceptions of how others may feel about them if they disclose, if they talk about their abortion experience. Experienced is what women experience when they do tell others or when they do go for services. So at times that may be rejection from providers, that may be rejection from their peers, from family members, they may be mistreated. Internalized stigma is how you think about, how you take what other people feel about abortion and internalize it. So women may experience guilt, shame, anxiety about getting an abortion. And then we have, in addition to stigmatized, also stigmatizers. So we can all move in and out of these different categories of feeling stigmatized and being stigmatizers, more the normative aspects of abortion stigma. Next slide. So we also conceptualize and look at abortion across different levels. And this is one of the challenges, because these different levels of abortion stigma actually intersect with each other. And what we don't know is, if we try to address abortion stigma on one level, would it influence how it plays out at different levels? So we definitely know a lot in the U.S. about the framing discourse around abortion. There's certainly a lot of governmental and structural stigma that plays out in many of our policies, such as Hyde and Helms. There's organizational and institutional stigma in terms of where services are provided, who's trained, how that is part of a comprehensive training program or something that's isolated. And then we also see it at community and individual levels. So what are the consequences of abortion stigma? This is the hypothesized impact of abortion stigma on women's health that we have developed in our conceptual framework. So really looking again, this is not linear, but thinking about how abortion stigma then may result in secrecy and silence, in shame and guilt about one's abortion, in delays in seeking services, in self-use that may or may not be safe. And then often we're seeing that there's poor quality of abortion services, even in countries where abortion is legal. Cost is certainly a huge issue, both financial cost and other types of cost. Abuse complications, in some settings we see links with suicide and death. So our stigma work to date has been to develop this conceptual framework. We've also developed a focus group guide. We've conducted assessments in Latin America, Ghana, Zambia, and the U.S. We've also had the good chance to pilot UCSF stigma scale in Zambia, so with women who have had abortions. And then we're looking at integrating questions on stigma into all of our data collection tools, so our baseline studies, our client exit interviews, so that we're really building our understanding of how abortion stigma plays out. So let me give you a few examples of some points. a few examples of the focus group guide and our research in Ghana and Zambia. So the objectives of this research were to examine the roots, causes, and consequences of the social stigma of abortion, and then to develop a tool or a stigma scale to measure abortion stigma at the community level. And what we've done, we chose Ghana and Zambia because abortion laws are somewhat permissive in both of the countries. There's a wide list of indications for which women can access legal abortions. However, there's high rates of unwanted or unintended pregnancies, high rates of maternal mortality linked to unsafe abortions and otherwise, and what people are saying are pervasive levels of abortion stigma. And we conducted interviews with community leaders, 15 in Ghana and 8 in Zambia. And these interviews were conducted between October 2010 and May in 2011. So some of the key issues that surfaced that are linked to our conceptual model was that there was very much this idea that there's us and them, that there's women who need abortions and there's women that don't, and that those are two very different categories of women, that women are primarily responsible for the outcomes of sex. So unintended or unwanted pregnancies are all about women's responsibility, and women who need abortions are not the norm. We also saw that women who need abortions are often blamed, ostracized, and excluded from their communities, that they may bring shame both to women, but that extends to women's entourage, so their families and communities. And we also found that the way that people talk about abortions, that some are more acceptable than others. So if someone is married and has several children, that's considered more of an acceptable abortion than if somebody is becoming pregnant because of sex outside of marriage or prior to marriage. So I want to share with you some of the quotes that came from our interviews and to examine how they then link to our model around labeling and stereotyping. So the first is from a married woman in Zambia, and I'll just read it. Women who have abortions are prostitutes. She is a nuisance, a whore, who has a double heart. Or a woman who has an abortion probably had sex with lots of men. She doesn't even know who the father is. And then we think about how people react to abortion providers. Abortion providers are sinners. I see them as murderers. Or abortion providers are bad people with no good character. So when we look at these, we see that the examples of these items and the way that people think about women who need abortion in our sample is that women who need abortions are bad mothers, that they can't be trusted, that they can make other people fall ill or sick, and that they bring shame to her family and community. So there's really this idea that it's not just about what the individual woman experiences, but that it becomes a contagion that extends to her family, to her community, to other people around her. Next. We also looked at the way that people looked at people who performed abortion as bad people. They think of them as committing a crime and or a sin. Often people said that they were just doing it for money, so not doing it because to promote women's choice or to promote women's good health, and that ultimately those people did not care about women. So in terms of the other categories of exclusion and discrimination, I will read the first one. We will laugh at her and also be pointing fingers at her. This will make her unhappy, and it will first force her to even leave the town. In my church, a woman who has aborted is not allowed to stand in church or give a health talk or do other things. Someone who aborts doesn't deserve a handshake, as they will disease you. I think doctors who perform abortions should be arrested. So this idea that we need to exclude people came up again and again, and I think is perhaps also exemplified in this quote. When students show that another female student has induced an abortion, the students will organize a funeral ceremony for the aborted child. They will make a coffin for that child, Organize a mourning ceremony during which they will cry, roll on the ground just to humiliate the girl. Girls are not always left out of this practice. Once the boys start, the girls too follow. So you see a lot of this exclusion, the discrimination that happens on a community level, the fact that it's not an isolated thing that women experience, that other people know about it, they find out about it, and that there's punishment at the community level for the abortions. So examples from this area show that women who have an abortion, they often, the people think they should keep their abortion secret, and they often do. And this obviously has consequences for thinking about women, where women go for their services, where they work, where they go to have abortions, who they prefer as abortion providers, where they will go to seek services, because confidentiality and privacy, we know that that's key, but also the need and desire at times to keep it a secret. Also, community members feel that women should keep it outside of the community and that they should go to other communities to have her abortions. We also see from these examples that people feel that women deserve to be harmed if they've had an abortion, that they should be reported to the police, and that they must be isolated from the community to go through a cleansing process before they can come back. In terms of providers, again, several of the quotes showed that women who doctors or midwives who perform abortions should go to jail. Some people did feel that they're helping women and doing their jobs. But when it comes to traditional healers, there was really a difference between what people said about traditional healers and what they said about midwives and doctors in terms of what they thought about them in terms of being legitimate or illegitimate providers of services. Majority said that they should go to a jail, and a few felt that they were helping women. So in terms of our next steps, as I mentioned, we've developed a community stigma scale that currently has 58 items in it. We're testing that with the community members. We're going to be validating these scales, developing a factor analysis, and then we'll be using this scale in the future when we're doing community interventions to measure the stigma reduction that we'll hopefully be doing in our communities. We're also this year looking at stigma at the service site level. So in Ghana, Zambia, where we've done the community interviews, and India and Mexico, we'll be looking at service delivery sites and conducting participant observation of women who are seeking services. We'll be conducting interviews with providers who are providing services, and then doing a content analysis of policies and procedures at the service delivery site to better understand how abortion plays out once women get to services, and then to try to understand the differences and commonalities between what community members are experiencing and what they're saying about abortion stigma and what happens when women are actually going in for services. Thank you very much.